Welcome to Under the Abbey Stand. My name's Jack Swindlehurst. It's great to be back, and the season has started again. Fans are back in grounds. Nature is healing. Joining me today, Jordan Warland. Hello.
Good evening, everyone. Hello. You all right?
And Tom Walker.
How are we? Good to be back again.
Great to be back, and it was great to be back at the Abbey yesterday, Saturday, the opening day of the season in League One. Don't forget that. Against Oxford United, a great game, a great atmosphere, and a great day. Jordan, how was it in South Haven or in the North Haven?
It was good to be back. I think the Haven perhaps was maybe one of the nicer stands to be in because it wasn't as packed as the NRE in the main stand. The NRE looked and sounded terrific, by the way, especially the last sort of quarter of the game. It was great to be back. There was, you know, obviously there was still a lot of people in the Haven, and actually it was quite, well, in my opinion, it was quite noisy at points from the Haven. So well done all involved. Had a few glitches, you know, first day back at school glitches with queues and things like that, but not enough to dampen the fact that we're back in the stadium, and it was just such a brilliant occasion. Like, I guess if we're going to talk about the game and talk about yesterday, we can't really ignore the occasion and the fact that we were back a long year and a half without crowds being in the stadium properly, no one-way systems, and being let out generally in sort of a COVID secure way. And you know, nearly 6,500 people there, great noise all around. Oh, just an incredible occasion to be back, and one that, you know, could have really got to the players, like, you know, could have got to their nerves and could have put them off the fact that there was this added pressure for sort of being back and having a large crowd there and a large away following too. But, you know, credit to the players, they played up to it, they embraced it, and they put on what I think was a pretty decent performance. So they didn't let the occasion get to them, and I think whilst we could maybe say we were fortunate that Oxford were perhaps a little bit rusty and maybe not at their, you know, maybe not quite hitting their top gear. If they had, I think they probably would have got that second goal. They definitely had enough chances and to do so. But they looked like a top team, definitely a top eight team. And for the most part, we competed really well. The last quarter of the game was really, really impressive. We were resolute throughout, and I think on the balance of it, if we were lucky to not concede a second, we definitely weren't lucky to get that equaliser. It was definitely a deserved equaliser in my eyes.
Yeah, so a lot about the occasion, obviously, and it being a great day, but like you say, there was still a game to be played, and Cambridge handled themselves pretty well. We were talking just before the pod, Tom, about how the game itself, there wasn't too many incidents and noticeable things in the game, but as Jordan said, a kind of well-earned point and pretty well-deserved. How did you find it?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, just kind of echo what Jordan said there, really, about, you know, being good to be back. You know, the NRE, I can confirm, was absolutely rammed, which was great to see after so many months away. But I thought it was encouraging. At times, you know, especially having conceded the goal sort of when we did to go behind, it might not have been that difficult for the game to slip away from us. So I think to keep in it and keep competitive was really important. And then ultimately, you know, you sort of always know you're going to get a chance to get something out of the game. And, you know, obviously came in the form of the penalty that, you know, Ironside took really, really well, actually, sort of right into the side netting, which is, you know, kind of exactly where you want it to be, really. A little fist pump there from Jordan. I felt we finished the game really strongly in it, and it looked like they were sort of growing in confidence as they, maybe they, at the start of the game, a little bit of the occasion maybe got to them. I think Oxford obviously had quite a lot of the ball. They maybe, as in the Cambridge players, maybe felt that we were a little bit, a little bit second best. And then the longer that we were still in the game, the longer that, you know, the sort of game went on, I just felt they got, you know, a bit better and a bit better. And I think in the end, probably, you know, Oxford had a lot of the ball and, you know, obviously a lot of possession as you might expect, but there weren't too many occasions that we were, you know, I think Mitchell made maybe one or two saves. So yeah, I think on balance, a point, you know, is a good result, a fair result, and it's a good way to be back.
Absolutely. An interesting day there, and as you said, not letting the occasion get to them. Interesting how we set up as well, the lineup that Bonner went for in the kind of system, going for Jones and Taylor at centre-backs, and obviously didn't bring in new signing Okadina, who's come back and on a permanent deal, which is good news. And yeah, just interesting to see how we set up differently to last season. And do you think that system's going to be the one used going forward?
Yeah, it seems to be the way. I mean, clearly the change in formation is something that Bonner's talked about quite a lot, and it probably comes from a few things. Obviously, you know, we're well aware that we've lost certain players who were obviously very important to the way that we played last year. We're clearly going up a level. We're going to have less of the ball. And I think it's the right way to go. And, you know, I think importantly, it allows Houlihan to get in his best position. And, you know, I think Ironside's pretty much the perfect striker to have in that sort of system as well. So I think as well, just to say that, you know, I think it's important that he got off the mark as well. On the first day of the season, because I think you can sometimes see it, especially when players are making the step up, that, you know, when it sort of becomes five and six games without a goal, they maybe start to doubt themselves a little bit, especially centre forwards who maybe haven't got much experience of playing at that level before. So yeah, obviously good for him to get off the mark, but I think I think it's certainly something that will persist with, and I think rightly so as well. We've got probably the right sort of personnel to do it. So it's not like, you know, we're forcing anything. I think it's basically the best way of getting all our best players on the pitch at the same time. And it also gives us that sort of added solidity as well, which is obviously going to be really important, especially when we come up against teams like Oxford. I mean, you know, we kind of match them up to an extent, because I think they actually set up in obviously a pretty similar way. But, you know, they're clearly a team that, you know, more experience at this level, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I thought Bonner got it all pretty right yesterday, actually. I don't think there's too much to, you know, argue with. I also think that the, you know, his actual changes as well, something that we talked about quite a lot last season, were, you know, maybe being a bit proactive with, you know, subs and that sort of stuff. And I think the changes that he made actually were really, you know, really, really effective. May, I thought, came on and did a really good job, and obviously, you know, we know what Sam Smith's all about. So, you know, I think overall, good from Bonner, and I think it's something that we'll see more of.
It's interesting you say Adam May there. I thought I agree. I think he had a good cameo from the bench, maybe one or two misplaced passes, but other than that, I thought he did well, and he impressed me in pre-season. And I think I think for him, he'll be looking at this formation that Bonner's going to go with, and looking at those two deeper lying midfielders and thinking to himself, I want to push O'Neill all the way to get that start in place. I wasn't surprised that we started 4-2-3-1. Obviously, all throughout pre-season, we'd played some sort of variation around just having one striker. And I think it was kind of obvious that Bonner felt more secure with that one rather than 4-3-3. So yeah, when it's just, firstly, amazing seeing the team sheet at 2 o'clock, sat in the pub, that brought back all the feelings and kind of reminded you that football's back. But I think there were maybe two starters that maybe raised my eyebrows a little bit, not in a negative or a disagreeing kind of way, but I think these two sort of roles and players are probably going to be the ones that are going to have to do the most to keep their starting place. And that's Liam O'Neill and Shiloh Tracy. Nothing against them. I think they did reasonable jobs yesterday. Tracy more so. I wasn't 100% sure which way Bonner would go in terms of playing those two. I guess with injuries to Lancaster, it kind of put Tracy at the forefront to get that last spot. Part of me did think he might have gone with Smith to start with. But yeah, the O'Neill one is going to be one that I think we might see the most rotation as the season goes on. It'll undoubtedly be Digby starting, but who partners him? Weir didn't make the squad yesterday. I believe he's got a knock. So perhaps when he comes back, he might be the starter. But I do think people like Weir and May will be looking at Liam O'Neill and thinking, I can get that spot. I can push him all the way. And O'Neill, for me, I'm not trying to dig him out here. I think he had an okay afternoon, but I would say of the starting 11, he was perhaps not the best performer. So if Bonner was looking to change it for future games, I wouldn't be surprised if we see rotation in that second deeper midfield spot.
Yeah, I think normally you'd probably see Weir starting. Clearly he's picked something up probably during the week, I guess. He'll obviously, I would assume he'll come back in sort of when he's ready. I think Tracy actually played pretty well, to be honest. I guess we didn't see too much of him last season. I think a lot of the performances, a lot of the appearances he made were from the bench, and you sort of forget a little bit what effective option he is. You know, there's a lot of times where he was making the Oxford defenders think a little bit more than maybe they'd have liked to. So, I thought he contributed well. I think you're right. That's probably where we're going to see the most rotation. I think, you know, ideally Bonner will have quite a settled back line. He'll, obviously want, sort of Wears and Ironside in the team sort of, whenever they can and whenever they're available. But I think certainly that sitting two and maybe out wide, that's where you might see a bit of change. So a lot of it will probably depend on the opposition as well. Obviously, Tracy's one that helps us get up the pitch, which is important in games where you're sort of up against it. Perhaps he was forced a little bit in terms of, picking O'Neill. Although, like you say, Jordan, I don't think he had a particularly bad game. But I do think when everyone's fit and everyone's available, you probably will see Anson Weir starting.
Yeah, the only thing with Tracy for me, I think going forward, he was a great option. His pace obviously caused Oxford issues, and he was also on the odd occasion tucked in and went a bit closer to Ironside, offering a bit more support there. I think my only reservation, and perhaps this is one of the problematic parts of this formation, is the defensive side. Brophy on the left, I think, did that better. He's more used to the defensive duties. He even played left back, I think, for Orient, so perhaps it came easier to him. But on the right side, I do think, I think George Williams had a great game. I know a few people weren't that impressed, but I thought he did his defensive duties really well. And if you add in the fact that he didn't have as much support from your O'Neills and your Tracys on that right hand side, I think he did a pretty stellar job. There was a good couple of instances in the first half where he sort of stopped moves or made good challenges. But I just wasn't surprised that Oxford's goal came from our right hand side. They were getting a lot of joy and a lot of space over there. And I guess it's kind of one of the sort of risks that you take not having sort of wide midfielders or wingers and pushing that sort of, that role a little bit further up the pitch. So maybe Weir might do the defensive stuff a little bit better, might offer more support, or maybe it'll be something that O'Neill will be looking to do. But I wasn't surprised that we conceded from our right-hand side. And I think, as much as I'm a fan of the 4-2-3-1, I think that might be throughout the season where teams might find joy against us, that little bit of space in front of our fullbacks.
Yeah, you might be right. I think Williams played really well, just to sort of add to that. There were quite a few comments in pre-season on the sort of basis of, a couple of quite unimportant performances. Obviously, in the friendlies that we had, that, he looked this and he looked that and maybe wasn't quite right and wasn't quite up to the right speed. But I thought he actually played really well. And as you say, maybe had to do a bit more work than he might have liked at times. But I think of the new guys, he was one that impressed. I think Jones looked really comfortable as well, which is so reassuring because, we've clearly been quite desperate for centre-back sort of all summer, really. Obviously, great news they've got Okadina back, but I think the fact that Jones has managed to slot in there and done it so comfortably, that's really reassuring. So hopefully more of that. But yeah, certainly with Williams, again, good to see him putting in a good performance, because maybe there were a couple of concerns from some areas of the fan base that hopefully have been sort of eased a little bit.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Just before we move on to the second part, do we think that Ocandina will come in to defence, as a more permanent fixture throughout the season? Bit of an open question.
Well, it's a big question, that, isn't it? Because is he going to come and join us to sit on the bench? I don't think so. I think you could say the same of Sam Smith. Like, will he get frustrated not starting? But let's focus on centre-backs. What a great signing Ocandina is. You know, if the news had come through that we'd got him on loan for the season, I would have been really happy. But the fact that we've managed to get him permanently, I'm ecstatic about. I think he's a good talent. I think he's got some quality. He's obviously got pace. He's calm on the ball and can play out. So he's got some talents there. And oddly, we now sort of find ourselves in a position where actually we've potentially got two quite saleable assets at centre-back, which is encouraging. Given that, our club runs on sort of developing players and selling them, he won't have joined to not play. I think actually that's quite a credit to him, leaving Spurs, like making that decision to leave to come and get first team football shows, his character and how much he wants to play. So it will be interesting to see how it develops over the season, because you look at Lloyd Jones yesterday, I think he was one of the candidates for the man of the match. Personally, I think Digby was probably the winner there, but he was terrific. So it's hard to see him being dropped. Taylor deserves his chance at League One. Didn't do too much wrong yesterday, apart from maybe the odd wayward pass. But he's also club captain, so it's not an obvious pick to be dropped. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Will he try and maybe play all three of them? He's not played three at the back so far, I don't think, maybe once last season, but it doesn't strike me as the obvious choice to play all three at the back, because, we've only got three. So if one gets injured, you've got to change your plan there. So I don't know. I would say perhaps Taylor might be the obvious one that Ocandina will be pushing for, but it'll be interesting to see how this one plays out, because I can't imagine he's come to not play first team football.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how he slots in, actually, because, I guess the shirts are Jones and Taylor's to lose at the moment. I guess we'll see Ocandina maybe play on Tuesday night against Swindon, and maybe that'll be a chance for him to, sort of stamp his claim or sort of whatever on his first team spot. So just to reiterate what George said there, I was absolutely delighted to see him come back. I actually said in the sort of pre-season preview that we did, he would be my ideal signing. Covers centre back obviously very, very well, an option at right back if needed as well. Wouldn't necessarily like to see him play there, because he's clearly a very, very good centre half, certainly the level that we saw about last season. It's probably fair to assume they'll be able to make the step up quite comfortably. I was very, very surprised to see him come back permanently. He was captain of the Spurs development team, so that shows the sort of regard that they were holding him in, and generally speaking, that's probably a pretty good sign that he's got some decent future in the game. He won't be coming here, like George said, not to play, but he'll also probably not be coming here to be a League One footballer for the rest of his career. So I'm really excited to see what we can get from him. He just seemed really calm and sort of composed, which is not something that you always see from very young centre-backs, especially coming out of academies. And, barring the odd sort of erratic performance where maybe there was like three and four mistakes within one half, like at Salford, I think it was. He was an absolutely fantastic addition last year. I was so happy to see him come back. He might find it a little bit more difficult than he might have thought, actually, to actually get in the team. And that's obviously a good thing. That competition, only means that we're doing well. Hopefully we'll see more, see more of Jabril and see how his time can sort of progress.
Brilliant stuff. Right, coming up in the second half, we're going to look ahead to the games against Swindon and Accrington. Welcome back to Under the Abbey Stand. In this part, we're going to look ahead to two games a week. Swindon first in the League Cup, and Jordan caught up with Rich from the Loathed Strangers podcast to talk about the Swindon game.
Right, I've got Rich from the Loathed Strangers podcast with me. Rich, thanks for speaking to us. Great start to the season for you yesterday, 3-1 win over Scunthorpe. What went so well?
Yeah, it was an absolute dream of a start, and thank you for having me on this lovely pod. We've had a really, really rough time over the last couple of months, and it recently went national, which was good, but it was a little bit late for us, but it was really appreciated. So what went well yesterday, I think there was this sort of just desire and collective unity within the club, players, staff and fans to just make that day special. And we've had barely any time to gel the squad since most of them only joined in the last 2-3 weeks. So whatever Ben Gunner, who's a new manager as well with Swindon, has done, it was miraculous, really, because we're prepared. Well, a lot of us were prepared and are still prepared for a season of struggle, but we've got a lot of very, very impressive signings coming through the door at the moment. So it looks like we might be okay, but I think Ghana had us playing, the ball around really well. The new lots of debuts looking up for it, looking like they want to keep their place, and it just gelled. And then we've got to also acknowledge that Scunthorpe are a team that are probably going to struggle this season, but they played all right too. So it was a good game, and it was a great moment for Swindon fans. They deserved it.
Excellent. Probably a massive question, but you mentioned the sort of the struggles that the club have sort of faced recently. I remember reading an article over the summer saying, I think you only had 5 contracted players, something like that. What exactly has gone wrong for Swindon? What's happened?
Well, somebody that you guys will know only too well, Lee Power, wanted to sell the club to an American company called Able, a very mysterious company that nobody knows anything about, and really nobody still does know anything about Able. He tried to put Swindon into administration to force it through. Swindon's minority shareholder, Clem Morfooney, wanted to buy the club himself, which was a huge stumbling block for Lee Power. It went through the courts, and ultimately, despite Lee Power's best attempts to try and force it down the road of Able taking over, it went to Clem Morfooney, who took over in the last couple of weeks. Now, the worst bit in terms of the football was concerned is that in late June time, Lee Power stopped funding the club, even though he'd stopped paying the rent on the county ground over a year ago in April of last year, and he stopped paying the staff in the month of June. And then we kind of bobbed along the ocean with no leadership. A CEO quit because he was a strong ally of Lee Power. The management, who had just been appointed in May, all quit. So John McGrill, who was a good appointment, and his assistant Rene Gilmartin left. A couple of players didn't feel like it was in their best interests to report to training, and they've since gone. A player that signed in May never turned up and went back to Exeter City, Pierce Sweeney. And we were left with 8 pros, 2 of which had COVID during that time too. We were playing multiple trialists and under-18s in our early friendlies. We really didn't have a lineup that was similar to the squad that we played against Scunthorpe until last week. And since Clem Morfooney and the Swindon Town fan called Rob Angus has taken over as CEO, it's just been a really real whirlwind of positivity, really. It's been really, really good to see multiple players sign, all of them with purpose. We're not just bringing in 35, 36 year old players because they're available. We're bringing in players that look like they can do a job at League Two level. And it's been a nuts, and I wouldn't wish it on Oxford United fans the summer that we've had. I really wouldn't. It did look very, very bleak for a couple of weeks, but luckily we look like we're on the up again.
Excellent stuff. We're fortunate that Lee Power's time with Cambridge wasn't that long, though it was still quite dramatic. I think he was in charge, as actual manager at one point, if I remember correctly. You talked about sort of some players coming in. Obviously, we play on Tuesday night. What names should Cambridge be looking out for? Where do you reckon sort of sparks could be coming or good performances could be coming from the Swindon players?
I'll be interested to see what Ben Garner does on Tuesday night, whether it's probably best that he sticks to a similar 11 as he did against Scunthorpe, because these players have to gel. So I think our attacking options look very good. Jack Payne, who isn't a new player, but he you know, can dictate the midfield. We've just signed Harry McCurdy, who got a debut goal. He looked all right. But I think the lad that stood out to a lot of people against Scunthorpe was a Aston Villa loanee called Kane Kessler. He was their captain of their FA Cup youth winning team last season, and he looked very, very busy and very proactive. We also re-signed a player called Ben Gladwin, who was hugely popular in his first spell at the club, not so much in his second and third loan spells that when he came back, but he got a debut goal as well. And I think, you know, those guys, we've also got this centre forward on loan from Ipswich called Tyree Simpson, and he does not look 19, I tell you. He's strong and aggressive and pacey. He looks like he's going to be great fun. So there's plenty of people to look out for, but we're learning about these players no different than you guys will be. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Nice one, Rich. A final question. Put your head out there and give us a prediction for the result for Tuesday night.
I was very happy that you guys got a draw against Oxford over the weekends. That was nice. Obviously, good to see them drop points. But I would always expect your League One team to be the favourites against a League Two team, especially one that hasn't gelled. But I appreciate that you guys have had your fair share of players leave. We are awful in the cups. Doesn't matter who's in charge. We could have Manchester United of 1999 in Swindon shirts, and we would lose in the cup. So if we do get a win, and I'm going to predict 2-1 Swindon, why not? I don't necessarily believe it, but, you know, dare to dream. That would be nice. But yeah, we'll see. But we are just awful in the cups.
Brilliant. Nice one, Rich.
So good to hear from one of the slugs of Swindon there. And yeah, what do we think? It's kind of difficult to know. And they're in a bit of trouble, aren't they, Swindon?
Well, yeah, it's exactly that, isn't it? Like, not knowing what to expect Tuesday night. And actually, and thanks to Rich for speaking to us, but I've kind of got the impression from him he's not entirely sure what they will expect for on Tuesday as well. Like, do they go with an unchanged 11 from Saturday because this group of players are so new to each other and haven't had much of a pre-season? I think he was saying that, you know, quite a lot of them have joined in just the last sort of 2 weeks or so. So do they stick with that and try and sort of, build a, you know, treat it a little bit as a pre-season game to get used to each other, or do they, you know, rotate and give some others some game time? So, yeah, I guess they're not entirely sure what to do on Tuesday night. And I'm just thinking about it, like, it kind of feels like it's a bit of a free hit for them, given everything that's gone on over the summer, all their challenges and issues and you know, issues with sort of recruitment. You know, if they lost on Tuesday night, I don't think anyone would bat an eyelid in their fan base, and they would just, you know, rather focus on the league. But having said that, you know, maybe having that freedom of treating it as a bit of a free hit might actually end up causing us more issues, because if they're playing with, you know, nothing really to sort of lose, they might, you know, play with that freedom that ends up sort of seeing them, you know, get on top and get the win. So really hard one to call on Tuesday night. I thought before their win yesterday, oh, it'll be a straightforward win because they're a bit of a head case. But I was really surprised that they got quite a big win at Scunthorpe.
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly a very positive start to the season for them after what's been, I think, a pretty dire sort of last year or so. I think, you know, we all know a little bit about Lee Power and, you know, his time at Cambridge, and, you know, to see what's been sort of going on there over the last few months has, you know, obviously not been pleasant. But Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it, to be honest, because it's a competition that, you know, it's obviously not going to be our sort of be all and end all. You know, it's not what we're going to, you know, judge our season on, but it's a competition that, you know, we've had some decent nights in. And obviously the Brentford win, we beat Sheffield Wednesday, and obviously had a good trip up to Birmingham a few years back as well. And, you know, if you get past Swindon, I think in the second round, that's when, you know, I think like Arsenal will come into the draw. So, you know, there's very, if we can progress, there's, you know, a decent opportunity to have sort of another one of those nights as well. So I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's not going to be a walkover. That's for sure. I seem to remember, George, we were having a chat in the pub before one of the pre-season games, and you said it was an extension of pre-season. So that shows how, you know, what you think of that Swindon lot. But they have got some players that, you know, could cause us problems. You know, like Ben Gladwin scored a goal on Saturday. I think played in the Championship, sort of not in the sort of not too distant past. McCurdy's a good player. I think he's done pretty well at League Two levels, probably caused us some problems over the last couple of years. Anthony Grant's obviously a very good player with a lot of League One experience. So, you know, there are players in that team that can hurt us, and, you know, if obviously given the opportunity, that might happen. But it's obviously a game that we're going to be expected to, you know, dominate, and we're going to be expected to really kind of control. So that's a bit strange given, you know, the sort of contrast between the Oxford game and, you know, going on to Swindon, where we are realistically going to be expected to win and win reasonably comfortably, I guess. But yeah, obviously the prize is in what comes next if we do win. So hopefully we can, and obviously something good comes of that.
In my defence, the extension of pre-season comment was made before, you know, Swindon got their act together. So yeah, I could look a little bit foolish at the end of Tuesday night if they dump us out of the cup. But yeah, a great result for them yesterday. You know, if their squad has only been together for a couple of weeks, to go to Scunthorpe and get a 3-1 victory, I think it was in the end. Obviously, that's quite impressive. From our perspective, Scunthorpe, obviously, were a bit of a thorn in our side second half of last season. So, I guess looking at United, it's a Tuesday night. So Wes will be at home with his feet up. I would hope that he maybe rests Big Joe. I think he's going to be a big player for us this season. And if you can get him rested where you can, I would definitely go for it. And I don't know, part of me thinks he might tweak the formation and maybe go 4-4-2 and give Smith and Nibs a run up top. But I guess we shall see on Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday nights were sort of the bane of our lives, weren't they? Towards the end of last season, it seemed like we basically lost every single one towards the end of the year. But yeah, I mean, I think probably we'll line up a little bit differently. Interesting to hear you say that you'd maybe like to rest Ironside. I think I'd like to see him continue playing. I think momentum is obviously a little bit intangible, but I think it is important for strikers. So, you know, if he can get, you know, another one or two goals against Swindon, then that's obviously, it should have him kind of full of confidence going into some quite important games where, you know, we might be able to get some more points on the board in the league. So I'd probably like to see him play. I think it's going to be interesting to see how we do set up without Wes, because it felt at times last season where we sort of tried to play in the same way without our best player. So I think we're going to have to try and do something a little bit different. I'd like to see Smith come in. Clearly a player that we know well and I think has good quality, and it'd be good to see him get on the score sheet as well if possible. And I'd like to see him start maybe up front with Ironside. It's also an opportunity to maybe just see how that can work as a front two as well. You know, we know what Ironside can do as the sort of target man, if you like. And hopefully that should give Smith some good opportunities sort of running off him. So I think we'll see something a little bit different, and hopefully it can be a few goals through to the next round and a big draw. Arsenal away, bring it on.
We did see on Saturday, actually, didn't we, against Oxford, that Big Joe was winning headers and sort of flicking it on, and actually there wasn't really anyone in and around him sort of chasing onto those. So I think that will be something they'll be working on in training, sort of how can they adapt Joe to sort of retain the ball perhaps rather than flick it on, because if we're not playing a second striker, we could just be wasting our time flicking it on to no one. So it'd be interesting to see how that part of Ironside's game changes over the season if we stick to this one up top formation, which I think we all are pretty expecting that will happen.
Absolutely. Certainly interesting to see. And yeah, wouldn't blame him for some rotation. But like you say, Tom, momentum's quite key, especially at this point in the season. So we'll see. But yeah, a cup run would be nice, and a big draw in the next round, as you say. So fingers crossed. And then coming back up on Saturday, another game, another League One game against Accrington Stanley. And Jordan caught up with Josh from the Raw Milk fanzine.
Right, I've got Josh from the Raw Milk fanzine on the line, covering all things Accrington. Cheers for speaking to us, Josh. Guess it was always going to be a tough start to the season going to a team that were in the Championship last year. But what was the story of your opening day game against Wickham?
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on. It was a very, very Accrington performance, really. It was stereotypical. You set off at 8:30, drive 200 miles, and you're 2-0 down after 16 minutes. So it was good to be back after 18 months. It was a strange one, really. I mean, like we've just said before we started recording, the first day is always a little bit of a lottery. You take it with a bit of a pinch of salt. So you can't read too much into it. But if we're honest and we're going off that game, it was a poor performance. They will dress it up as you like. You know, people can say, well, there's positives. It was only 2-1. We were still in the game right until the very end. But if we're honest about it, and if you go off, you know, you take your Accrington hat off, you know, they were head and shoulders above us, really. And we were pushing for we scored late on and we were pushing for a point. If we'd have got a point, it would have been truly undeserved. Wickham sort of dominated. We had a good first 5 minutes, and I thought, wow, we're at it here. We look really good. And then they scored and scored again. And from there, really, we never really got going. It was a strange one. We started playing 3-5-2 formation last year, which worked really, really well for us. We finished comfortably mid-table, and we were in and around the playoffs until the very, very end of the season. That yesterday, the formation didn't work at all. We were very, very easily got at by their wingers, and the back three looked completely out of the depth. So, like you say, you wait 18 months. It's good to be back with football, but then they put in a performance like that. It was it was dire, yeah.
But in general, mate, what are your levels of optimism like for the season? Do you feel you've recruited well in the summer and can maybe push on and sort of get closer to the playoff picture?
I mean, you know, if you ask any realistic Accrington fan, last year was a bit of an anomaly in that we'd have taken 20th before a ball was kicked. And we were sort of in this strange position where we were playing really well and we were sort of in and around it with the big boys. I mean, this year we've recruited heavily again, as we always do. We've recruited, if we're honest, you know, people like Harry Pell, very, 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 very experienced players. John O'Sullivan last year had a really good year with Morecambe and he's joined us. But yesterday he played, you know, 70 minutes and I don't think he kicked at all. Harry Pell struggled to sort of impose himself on the game. So you're at this weird point where it looks on paper like we've recruited well, we've recruited experience and we've recruited good players. But League One is very, very different to League Two. And these players now we've signed, in particular those two, on 3-year deals. And it's up to them to show us that they can do it and that they're worth the money that we're paying for them, because it's not every day that Accrington offer 3-year deals. And yesterday, you know, it wasn't good enough. So I don't know. I think you can't really give a true, honest sort of opinion on where you think you'll finish. For me, again, I think we'll be mid-table, hopefully. After 10 games, like I say, if we've lost if we've won one game, then I might say we're in a relegation scrap. But no, I think we're good enough to be around that mid-table mark, yeah.
So going to be looking for a reaction next Saturday when you play Cambridge at home. Who for Cambridge fans should we be looking out for? Like, who's going to be, you know, the match winner for Accrington?
Well, last year it was all about the front two, Dion Charles and Colby Bishop. They worked really, really well together. They've got a lot of interest over the summer. I don't think that interest is going away, so potentially they might not even be there next week. But the front two in particular are our match winners. They score the bulk of the goals. But again, yesterday, they were shocking. They looked like they didn't want to be there. We've signed, again, people, the wingers really, Sean McConville, who I'm sure you'll be aware of, as we've played in League Two, he's been around a long time. The wingers, Sean McConville and Joe Pritchard, again, are probably our talisman. It's that attacking, sort of the attacking front four or five-ish players are our really exciting players. But from your own point of view, the back three can very, very much be got at. And if I were you lot, I'd be sort of excited to come to Accrington and have a go at those back three after what we saw yesterday anyway.
Brilliant. One last question, Josh. How do you see next Saturday going? Give us a score prediction, mate.
I mean, if we play like we did yesterday, I don't think we'll win a game all season. But I think you'd like to think that after COVID, it's the first home game, the first home league game. You'd like to think the fans would be up for it, and you'd like to think that that'd get the players up for it. So I think that we've got to target as the home side. We've got to target a win. I'd like to see us get a couple of goals, but I think it might be tight and nervy. So I'll go 2-1.
Brilliant. Nice one, Josh. All the best, mate.
Good to hear from Josh there. It's certainly interesting to see how Cambridge come through this next test. It's a big long trip to Accrington, and they'll certainly have to, play at least at the standard they were playing yesterday to get a result from that game. How do we feel about that?
Well, I think we learned from Josh they'll need to up their standard from yesterday. I enjoyed chatting to Josh. He clearly had a good day out on Saturday and enjoyed football being back, and was a little bit worse for wear when I spoke to him this morning. But I wonder if once the hangover passes, he won't be as negative about their result, because, you know, Wickham are, you know, they were Championship club last year, so it was always going to be a tough one for them to get a result. But the interesting thing about our game there on Saturday is they obviously lost against Wickham, but Tuesday night they go to Rotherham in the cup, which will be a really hard game. So they could be going into our game off the back of two defeats. So it could go one of two ways, really. They could be really up for sort of correcting that poor form and looking to do everything to get the win. Or they might be a little bit nervous because they've lost two on the trot. So it'll be a tough one. It'll be a tough one on Saturday. I think without praising Accrington too much, they are obviously the example for teams in League One on small budgets of doing it right. They've stayed up numerous years. I don't think they're normally in relegation fights, so they've got a good map, and hopefully that's something United we can emulate. It'd be interesting. He talks about them playing 3-5-2. I think for us to have any success there, we'll need to obviously defend in numbers, but attack with real pace, because if we leave Big Joe up front on his own, isolated against three central defenders, they're going to have a field day. So our success on Saturday will depend on how quickly we can get bodies in and around him when we're attacking.
Yeah, it's something that I think at times we found quite tricky last season, was playing against a back three. So it will be interesting to see how we cope, and obviously, obviously your man there referred to a couple of the sort of key players who obviously might be leaving. So it'll be interesting how that sort of progresses. And if, you know, if they lose guys like Deion Charles, then that's obviously going to be a huge blow for them, and maybe just makes it a touch easier for us to go there and hopefully get something. It is the absolutely archetypal tough place to go, isn't it, Accrington? I really sincerely hope that the weather is slightly better than it was on Saturday, because that open terrace is not going to be pleasant if it's absolutely pissing it down with rain like it was against Oxford for the whole day, really. But yeah, it'll be good. Away days are back. That'll be good to sort of get on the road again. That's obviously been even longer. I guess the last one would have been late in Orient, I suppose. It'll be good to get back to that. And I think we've got to go there with some good confidence. I think, you know, we've obviously heard from a pretty depressed Accrington fan there. I love the cynicism in football. It's so good. The first day back, 200 miles down to Wickham, and you're 2-0 down in 16 minutes. Nature really is healing. But they've got obviously got a tricky tie in midweek against Rotherham. So it's potentially a chance for us to go there and get something. And I really hope we do. It'd be nice to get a win, wouldn't it? A nice little win, a nice little clean sheet.
It would just be good to test ourselves against that level of team. Like, obviously getting a point at home to Oxford, who we reckon will be in and around the playoffs, is great, but maybe that's not how our season's going to be defined. I think our season's going to be defined by how well we do against the mid-table teams and obviously those that will be in the relegation places. So we've got a couple of them coming up. Accrington, obviously, on the Saturday, followed straight away by Plymouth on the Tuesday night, and then I think Burton as well. So I'll read more into how well we're going to do this season after those three games than I will based on how we did against Oxford, although I think we did, for the most part, pretty good against Oxford. So hopefully we can surprise a few and stay up.
Yeah, great stuff. It's exciting to be back. Nice to be back in the grounds and nice to be in League One. It was a great day out and there's plenty more of them to come. And we're going to be bringing you regular pods after the game. So, yeah, we'll keep you updated with all the upcoming games. August is looking very busy. Plenty of chance to get down to the Abbey and support the Yellows. And I think that brings us to a close. Jordan, thank you.
Yeah, nice one, everyone.
Tom, thank you.
You're two back, 1 point down, 49 more to go.